Good morning. This morning I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bible, you can, but just to warn you, I'm using the New International Version. So the words are going to be a little bit different. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We are so grateful for the truths and the encouragement that it contains. Please be with me. I rely on your Spirit as I share this message with your children today. May it bless each of us and lead us all into closer relationship with you, Lord. Amen. People of God, I have come to share the good news with you. Yet while reading the scriptures this week, I felt like good wasn't the right word. It wasn't big enough. It wasn't strong enough. It wasn't bold enough. This passage is one of incredible hope and encouragement and love. It tells of some of God's promises for his children who follow Jesus. So instead of the good news today, let us reflect on God's great news. I do, however, have a caveat before we delve into Paul's words of hope to the Church of Rome. Don't let the humanly impossible task of being like Jesus limit your relationship with God. Yes, it is very important as Christians to practice self-reflection. We should be aware of our shortcomings. It's vital to confess our sins and pray for transformation. We are called to be like Christ and not of the world. The scripture that I just read even reminds us in verses 29 and 30, when Paul speaks of how we are predestined, we are called to conform to that perfect image of Christ. But we can't do it on our own merit. We can only be justified by God through Jesus. For those who don't believe in Jesus Christ, this is a really scary statement. But for those of us who believe, as it says in John 3:16, which we read earlier with the kids, whoever believes in him, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's pretty great news. At some point or other, many Christians can get bogged down or even sometimes become depressed when we feel that we aren't enough like Christ. We can become fixated on our thoughts and behaviors that require improvement. We become ashamed of ourselves, and many times our relationship with God starts to suffer. Just look at how Adam and Eve's relationship with God changed after the fall. They didn't seek him out in the garden anymore. They hid from him. Don't we metaphorically hide from God sometimes when we're feeling guilty, when we feel that we're not living up to our end of the bargain? I know when I feel like I'm not doing enough, that's when my prayer life falls off. That's my way of trying to hide from God. Isn't it good that we can't actually hide? Thankfully, we are the people of the New Testament. And Scripture reminded of this several times. For example, in Romans chapter 4, 25, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. In Acts chapter 13, through him everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. In Matthew chapter 19, then Jesus said to his disciples, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." The good news, the great news in this case, is Jesus died for our sins, past, present, and future. It is essential when we start to feel overwhelmed by our sinful nature, or when circumstances in our physical lives seem bleak, that we turn to passages like this one in Romans. Ones that remind us that God has us covered, covered us completely. So to conclude my warning, before I get into the good feeling, excitement, hopeful part of Paul's message today. Self-examination and striving to be like Jesus, yes, they're essential parts of the Christian life. But do not despair or lose sight of the fact that Jesus died for those sins and that God loves you unconditionally. As my mom has said on a few occasions, "I don't like your choice, but I love you anyway." How much more loving and forgiving is God? He is truly the ultimate father figure. And as many of you know, being a parent is not easy. Can I get an amen? It definitely involves a learning curve for many of us and a lot of intercession. I pray daily, if not minute by minute, for patience and understanding. And yet, sometimes I understand my children in a way that very few people can, especially when they're little and they're just learning to talk. Sebastian sometimes wants to tell me something, but he doesn't know the right words. He'll make noises or words that sometimes only I understand. Dwinky may as well be a foreign language to Danielle, but I know that he wants water. I say speedy means that he wants ice water. I have a friend whose daughter loves horsey kisses, which she knows means that her daughter wants chocolate. Thankfully, as parents, we understand even those awkwardly worded requests. We learn the difference between a baby's tired whimper and their hungry yell. In the first two verses of today's scripture, Paul touches on how God our Father understands us when we don't know what to pray or how to pray. The Spirit which dwells in each of us when we become believers prays for us. When there are no words that we can say, the Spirit stirs in our hearts and groans and speaks on our behalf. When researching this passage, I came across the idea again and again and again of intercession, that the Spirit intercedes for us in our hearts and that Jesus himself intercedes for us in heaven. How amazing would it be to witness that conversation? I can just see Jesus saying, "Abba, please surround her with your love, your strength, your healing. She needs you now." Or, "Father, guide him through this time. Hold his hand and guide his footsteps because he doesn't know where to go. The Spirit is working on him, though, but he needs all of us." I'm sure that it's much better than that, but I'm limited by my feeble imagination. It gives me such hope that when I don't know God's will or when I don't even know what to pray for, the Spirit is already there working in my heart. That God is using his parenting resources to bring me into accordance with his will. That he hears my wordless prayers and he understands them. The next verse for me, verse 28, was very poignant. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. There's that word good again. Here, it doesn't mean good as in material things, or sparing us from trials, or necessarily even healing us. This is the good that means what is best for us in the eternal sense. This is the good of God's upper story, as we heard so many times for those of us who did the story study. This is the good that comes from being in accord with God's will for our lives. Sometimes this aligns with what we want, but sometimes, as Paul wrote in the beginning of verse 26, we do not know what we ought to pray for. Thankfully, the Spirit is in our heart and knows the will of God. How amazing to have the Creator of the universe take such an interest in each of us to give this little piece of divinity always inside of us. Paul expounded, And as great as Paul's message so far has been, it continues to get better as you go on. Verse 31b is perhaps one of my favorites in this passage. If God is for us, who can be against us? He continued to expound on that theme by asking specifically what can separate us from the love of God. After an increasingly scary list of circumstances, Paul rightly concluded that nothing can separate us. That because he gave Jesus to die for us, to justify us, to glorify us, there is absolutely nothing that will stop him from loving us. When he looks at each of us, he doesn't see the sinful creatures that we are. He sees Jesus covering us. We strive admirably as Christians to be more Christ-like, but it is only through his blood that we are made pure. And we call this the good news. I call it the great news. And the blessings don't stop there. Continuing on with the theme of God as the best parent ever, verse 32 states, he gave up his son for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If you reflect back on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, we're told to ask, to seek, and to knock. Verse 11 says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You heard right. God wants to hear from us. He wants us to ask him for what we need. He wants us to ask him for help. He wants to bless us. He wants to have a relationship with us. How amazing. I know there are some moments in my day that I don't want to speak to me, like when the dog needs out at 4:30 in the morning, or when I get up early to work out and haven't had coffee yet. Yet God wants me to come to him and ask for the wisdom I need to understand my devotion while I'm running on the treadmill. He wants to hear how grateful I am that Sebastian slept all night. He wants to hear me ask for guidance in deciding what Sunday school curriculum we should use. He listens as I cry in frustration because my kids won't let me write 2 sentences of a message without needing something now, because I'm hungry. And he answers me and comforts me and inspires me. I have to take the time, though, to talk to him and especially to listen. When I do, he blesses me. He will bless you. He wants to do good things for us. That is great news. The not so good news is that the world isn't perfect, but I'm pretty sure a glimpse at any news article or website or newspaper would tell us that. We don't always give God the room that we should in our lives. There's evil in sickness, and there's famine and disasters and all the other things that Paul listed. I confess that I'm sinful. That should come as no surprise, though, since I'm human. The knowledge, though, that through Jesus I am saved, and that nothing can separate me from God's love, is the message that keeps me going. It is what inspires me and comforts me and gives me hope. May knowing of God's unconditional love for you and your salvation bring you that same feeling that this is great news indeed. Amen.